Good morning. I was really excited to hear about this session because I think that obviously most of medical care in this country still focuses on treatment, and I think that educating our healthcare providers is a way to help move towards an environment of prevention. So I have no relationships to disclose, as Leah mentioned earlier. Today what I want to do is talk a little bit about oral health and dental caries. Keeping in mind I'm not a dentist, so it's very rudimentary. I also want to talk about nutrition, sugar, and how that impacts dental health. And then I want to address pediatric obesity and how sugar and oral health are related to that. And then I want to present some results from a survey that was completed from dental professionals in the state of Tennessee. So what are dental caries? Basically, tooth decay. The things that I want to point out about dental caries is that they are prevalent worldwide and for all age groups, and that tooth decay is actually defined as a prevalent chronic disease. Without going into much of the science, they're caused by bacteria, which destroys the enamel and leads to cavities. And they can eventually lead to the death of a tooth. And most importantly, 42% of kids between the ages of 2 and 11 have a history of dental caries in their primary teeth. So as early as 1938, and possibly even earlier than that, this is the furthest back that I could find, Bion East published a paper on nutrition and dental caries. And from the 40s and later, there have been numerous publications that discuss sugar as a cause of these dental caries. And so it's been known for some time that sugar consumption can impact dental health as well as dental caries. So what's the relationship between your teeth and being overweight? Well, like dental caries, obesity and overweight is a prevalent disease worldwide for all age groups. More than one-third of children and adolescents in the U.S. are overweight or obese, and 17% of kids 2 to 19 in the U.S. are obese. Like tooth decay, it's a common chronic disease, and it's caused by decreased physical activity, poor nutrition, and increased caloric intake. And that caloric intake is coming from dietary fat, but also sugar consumption. So here's the relationship that we're trying to focus on right now, that sugar consumption can impact obesity as well as oral health. Frequent consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages, as I said earlier, it leads to a greater risk of dental caries. And this is just a snapshot of a few recent studies. There are many, many, many studies that have shown this. It's also an issue worldwide. It's not just in the U.S. We also know that higher consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages leads to a greater risk of obesity. We know that by decreasing them, you can decrease your body fat. We also know that 40% of added sugar consumption in children and adolescents comes from sugar-sweetened beverages. And sugar-sweetened beverages will also increase risk for type 2 diabetes. We also know that consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages is increasing. Between 1989 and 2008, caloric intake in children has not changed, but the caloric nutritional beverages decreased at the same time that sugar-sweetened beverages increased. So milk is being replaced by Pepsi, unfortunately. Currently, the American Academy of Pediatric Dentists recommends nutrition counseling as a regular part of dental care. And nutrition counseling by dental professionals may reduce dental caries and also change behavior. Nutrition counseling obviously can also reduce childhood obesity. This has been proven over and over again. So the question is, do dentists provide counseling on nutrition, and could or does this include screening on and counseling on childhood obesity? So that leads us to the purpose of what we were trying to do with this survey, and that was to examine attitudes and perceptions of dental professionals about their role in efforts to address childhood obesity. So we performed a cross-sectional survey that we mailed to dental professionals in Tennessee. The survey was geared towards dentists, but many of them, or a number of them, designated someone else in their office to complete the survey. So if it was not a dentist who completed it, it was most often a dental hygienist. This was a cold contact survey, and we used a modified Dillman method. One survey was sent, and then 6 months later, we sent another survey to those who did not respond. The survey's been used before in a population of pediatricians, and that's been published by Mary Story. It included demographics, questions about personal health characteristics or personal health practices, which is always really interesting to me to see if folks are actually practicing what they preach. We asked about current screening and counseling practices related to nutrition, weight, and physical activity, and we also asked about their confidence for counseling on these health behaviors, and we also wanted to find out what their perceived role was in the overall health of their patients. We had a 41% response rate, which we felt was pretty good for a cold contact survey. 75% of the respondents were dentists. The majority were male and white. The largest group were in practice 21 to 30 years. So, like I said, it's always interesting to find out if our healthcare providers are doing exactly what they're telling their patients to do. So, as you can see, the majority of them consumed soda less than 3 times per month, which I would say is pretty good. That's better than I do. So are they screening their pediatric patients on their nutrition behaviors? And as you can see, over 50% were regularly screening for sugar-sweetened beverages, sugar-sweetened snacks, and fluoridated water, all important for dental health. However, less frequent calcium-rich foods and fruits and vegetables, and then almost none were screening for sedentary behavior. And some of this, I can let you form your own conclusions, but we asked about what they were doing as far as counseling, and over 90% agreed that they should know optimal nutrition and what that included. Far less agreed that diet history or a diet recall should be obtained. And less than half agreed that most dentists don't have time or skills to give nutrition counseling. So what this tells me is they, at least a portion of them, do think that they have enough time and that they should, but perhaps they're not doing what they've set out to do. The highest number of the dental professionals were moderately to considerably confident on counseling patients to stop sugar-sweetened beverage intake. However, in regards to sedentary behavior, the highest number were marginally or not at all confident. And that makes sense based on what a dentist would be trained to do. The majority of these dentists agreed that with the statement, "I do not see nutrition counseling as my role," and an even higher number agreed that dentists should counsel patients to avoid sugar-sweetened beverages. 95% of our respondents agreed or strongly agreed that good nutrition is important to dental health, and the same approximate number agreed or strongly agreed that poor oral health can adversely affect overall general health of the entire body. So it's not necessarily a knowledge issue, at least at this point. So how do our dentists feel about soda? Overwhelmingly, they feel that soda is harmful to oral health. I'd really kind of like to know who disagreed with that statement. Maybe they didn't read the question. They also understand that increased energy intake from sugar-sweetened beverages is leading to the obesity epidemic in American children. About 20% of them felt that dental professionals should address childhood obesity. However, only 30% agreed that dental professionals should only provide counseling for children with nutrition-related dental problems. Now, that statement can be read, I think, in a couple of different ways. If I read that, what I would think is, you're saying I should only provide it, but no, maybe it should be provided for more individuals than just those with nutrition-related dental problems. However, I think that question is a bit problematic based on where the inflection in the statement goes. In summary, at least the dental professionals that we polled felt that they should know the principles of good nutrition and that they should screen their pediatric patients for nutrition issues. They also felt that nutritional counseling is within their role, and that obviously includes counseling on sugar-sweetened beverage intake. Some dental professionals are currently providing nutritional counseling and screening, but not enough of them, in my opinion. And this may be because of the confidence that they have in doing this. So dental professionals had low to moderate confidence for counseling their patients on diet and reducing sugar-sweetened beverages. And some of them felt that they do not have the time or the skills, or that in general dentists don't have the time or the skills to provide such counseling to their pediatric patients. So we found that dental professionals are well positioned and somewhat knowledgeable and confident to provide nutritional counseling to pediatric patients, including sugar-sweetened beverage counseling. So what role can they play in this fight against childhood obesity? The large majority of children in this country see their dentist twice a year, which may or may not be more often than they see their primary care provider. However, screening is something that could occur in the dentist's office. This could involve measuring body weight, and it could also involve asking specific questions about nutrition behaviors. I think they'd have to be yes or no questions so that kids could nod or turn their head while they have somebody's hands in their mouth. Nutrition counseling is also recommended by the American Academy of Pediatric Dentists, and it could and should address nutrition-related dental problems and those which negatively impact overall health. As I mentioned before, while we move to an environment of prevention, it's really important that all healthcare providers that are seeing patients are in at least a bit of agreement on the information that they're giving. So how can we get dentists to do this and dental professionals? We need to help increase their knowledge and their comfort doing this. So training is needed, and maybe we should send them to cooking classes. That might help. But training is needed for dental professionals to increase their knowledge and comfort, to screen their patients, and to find deficiencies in nutrition-related problems, and to also provide nutrition counseling. And we would hope that the focus would be on oral health as well as overall health and childhood obesity. And this doesn't necessarily need to be a lengthy discussion and counseling period, but I feel like repeated messages that are stating the same thing will hopefully eventually sink in. There was a speaker yesterday who talked about motivating and mobilizing youth, and he said that short, succinct messages repeated over and over were the best way to really get folks to change behavior. So with that, I want to thank the project funder, as well as Bettina Beach, who is my mentor, and some other folks that worked with her on this study. I also want to use this opportunity to remind you that the American Dental Association recommends that your child should see the dentist prior to their first birthday, and this also gives me the opportunity to brag about my six-month-old, who I'm hoping I can get through the parade to get back to in the hotel. But this is Samuel, and I'm a new mom and very, very proud. So thanks for your time. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.